1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and I've had this on my heart for a couple of weeks now, and I really didn't know quite which way I'd go with it, and I told Brother Brett last night or early this morning on the way to his house, I said, I've got an idea, I've got a thought, but I really don't know how we're going to go, and but just could not get this off my heart, and you pray for me this morning. I'm going to read several different places. But it won't be a help to us. It won't be an encouragement to us this morning. And I just want to do my best to mind the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. When you find your places, stand with me this morning if you can and able, in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." I want to preach just a few minutes this morning with the help of the Lord in that last little phrase in verse 4, "And that rock was Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I sure love you this morning. And God, I'm thankful, Lord, for the privilege, God, the honor to be back in your house, Lord, for the privilege to be able to call out on your name in prayer. Lord, I thank you, God, for each one that's made their way out this morning. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd meet every need, touching every request, God, every burden. Lord, I pray you'd have your will and way this morning. And God, I realize I have no preaching me. God, I need a fresh touch. And Lord, I pray just for a little while, would you give me unction, give me utterance. God, I thank you for what you've done in my heart this week. And but God, Lord, this is another time and another service. And Lord, we need fresh manna this morning. Lord, I pray that most of all, if they'd be one in the midst, lost to know without you, would you save them for it's everlasting too late. Be careful this morning. Give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing this morning. Now, bear with me just a moment. I want to try to give us a little bit of an introduction, then I want to preach, and I'll go just as quick as I can, all right? I love this chapter. I love this. And if you'll remember, I believe it was last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Kenny taught on this. And, he dealt with verse 13 primarily, but looked through the whole chapter, and I want to deal with verse 4 tonight, this morning. I love that statement, "And that rock was Christ." I'm going to give you just a little bit on what we've been doing Wednesday night real quick. Here in a few weeks, we'll look at types and pictures and foreshadowings in the Word of God. And oftentimes, we look at that and think that's confusing and think that may be hard to understand. But oftentimes, John, the Word of God will tell you itself what something's a picture of. Ain't that right? What I'm going to do this morning, I don't have to speculate. I'm not trying to figure out. When I'm going to preach on that rock, I don't have to try to come up, Kirk, with what is a picture of. I don't have to figure out what God's trying to show me. The Bible said here in our text, "And that rock was Christ." Isn't that right? That rock is a picture and a type of Christ. So we see this morning what Paul's saying. Notice verse 1. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant." Now, I want to give you a quote this morning. I don't do it much, but by way of introduction, I won't give you a quote. I forget who said it now. But it's been said that we're all ignorant this morning, just on different things. Did you know that? Every one of us this morning are ignorant about something. I'll be honest with you. There'd be many of you, I'm not being ugly, but until you've experienced it, you don't know. If you tried to explain what a man felt while he was preaching, Kirk, you may be ignorant of that. But I understand. I've experienced it. I've been there and I've done that. They may be garbage on when it comes to driving a truck. I know some things about it. I could crank it up and I could probably move it. But to give the whole experience of what it is to drive a truck, I'm ignorant of. I didn't do it for all those years that you did. I'm ignorant of that. I've always been pretty good with wood, and I can build anything, just about anything I want to. But Michelle, if it comes to building a fixing a motor, I'm ignorant of that. I never was taught those things that much. And I can do a few things, but I don't have the experience and the knowledge that you have. We're all ignorant of something tonight, this morning. It's just different things. And Paul begins the chapter by saying, I would not that you be ignorant, brethren. But notice this, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, I don't have time to deal with the whole chapter, though I'd love to, but you read throughout this chapter, you'll find that up until verse number 13, Paul begins to give a list of experiences that the children of Israel went through or after they came out of Egypt until they came into the promised land. And he tells us this morning that he would not that we be ignorant of those things. Can I say this morning, every one of those experiences, there is something we can glean. There is something we can learn. There is something we can gather from these experiences. In fact, you'll notice this morning the Bible said how that all our fathers were passed under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them and that rock was Christ. So in those verses we find that they all over and over again, that word all, they all experienced these things. But then in verse 5, he changes and he says, but many of them, it's not all now, it's many of them that did these things. And that tells me if there were many that, notice verse 5, and many of them God was not well pleased. That tells me that if there were many that God was not well pleased, then it must be few that he was well pleased. Isn't that right? So can I say, you say, preacher, why is it important? Why do we need to know these things? Why do we need to study this? Because it ought to be our desire for God to be well pleased with our life. Isn't that right? There are some experiences. There are some things that we all go through. But there's some things tonight that you may be ignorant of if you've never experienced it yourself. Isn't that right? And there's a whole study here. There's a whole series. I don't have time to preach it all, but I want to deal just a few moments with that rock this morning. Now, let's notice a few things in our text. Notice this. First of all, verse 4, the Bible said, and did all drink the same. Notice this phrase. Did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock. Now can I say this? Let me finish up my introduction. I love the way our King James Bible has been written. How many of you this morning, I'm no great English scholar, but my wife's pretty good at it. She'll correct me if I'm wrong. Listen, if I wrote down the word rock, if I said wrong, I went out in the field and picked up a rock, I would not capitalize that. Isn't that right? How about you look in your Bible at that phrase, spiritual rock? That's a capital R. It is capitalized. Do you know why? Because it speaks of a name. It speaks of a person. Amen, isn't that right? Y'all got to hit me just a little bit more than that. It speaks of a name. It speaks of a person. It speaks of someone. You say, preacher, who is it? Well, the verse tells us, and that rock was Christ. Amen. Isn't that right? I'm glad it's who he is. I'm glad he is the rock tonight. Amen. Isn't that right? Brother Wayne, he is that cornerstone. He is the rock this evening. Oh, my soul, he is the rock of ages. He is the rock this morning. Amen. Notice this, the Bible said that all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drink of that spiritual rock. Can I say this? First of all, I see the spiritual rock. There's some things about this rock tonight that, or this morning, that you may be ignorant of this morning. I want to do my best to try to help us to understand about this rock. Hey, can I say this morning? If that rock was Christ, I want to know everything I can about that rock, don't you? Amen. So I want to say, first of all, he was and he is a spiritual rock this morning. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Can I say it like this? The natural man cannot understand spiritual things. Isn't that right? If you're here this morning, you're ignorant and you don't understand how he can be the rock. If you don't understand how he can be the rock of ages. If you don't understand how he can be the foundation of your soul. If you do not understand that this morning, it's because he's a spiritual rock. And natural eyes cannot behold it. Natural knowledge cannot understand. He is a spiritual rock this morning. Isn't that right? And it takes the Spirit of God to understand spiritual things. Until you get saved this morning, if you're here today lost, until you're saved, by the good grace of God, you'll never be able to understand spiritual things. Brother Wayne, these men that study that book, and they study it faithfully, and they study it religiously, and they study it to a great extent, but can I say this? As long as they look with natural eyes and think with a natural mind, they'll never understand the depths of the love and grace of God that you'll find within that book. It is a spiritual book, and it takes spiritual knowledge and spiritual mindset. Isn't that right? And it takes the help of the Spirit of God to be able to rightly divide the word of truth and to understand and not be ignorant of this spiritual rock. It takes the help and the guidance and the comfort of the Spirit of God this morning. He's a spiritual rock. The natural man cannot understand. The natural man cannot grasp. The natural man cannot understand the significance of him being the rock. Do you realize tonight, whether this morning, whether you realize it or not, I'm glad he is the rock. Amen. I can't get into all of it, get ahead of myself. But Brother Wayne preached the other night about them foundations. I'm glad he is the cornerstone by which my foundation is formed. Amen. Isn't that right? I'm glad, thank God, he's the rock upon which I stand. I'm glad, thank God, I don't have to build my house on sink and stand, but upon the rock I can build. I'm glad, thank God, this church can be founded upon the rock. Aren't you this morning? Listen, I'm glad this morning that he is that spiritual rock. I'm glad he's the rock that does not change. He does not waver. Amen, isn't that right? You got to hit me just a little bit more than you are. I'm going to get into the good part if you'll hit me. He is the rock this evening. The book of Daniel, you'll find that old King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And the Bible said, Johnny, I saw a great statue with a head of brass or a head of gold. And we know the story tonight as it went down. It became shoulders. The shoulders in the midsection and the legs. And then by the time it was over, the feet were of iron and clay. I don't have time to get into all that, but you know what it is? It's every world power there ever was. You know that? It is from Babylon to the Medes and Persians. Amen, isn't that right? And you know what that feet represent? Let me give you this. The Roman Empire has never completely gone away. Did you know that? They still influence us today. They did not fall. They crumbled within. Isn't that right? And you know what it mixed with that iron mixed with that clay in the feet. That's the religious system of this world, affected by the Roman government, known as the Roman Catholic Church. Isn't that right? Somebody help me. Don't lose me. But can I say this? They sought everybody, Kirk, to interpret that dream, and nobody could. But they said there's a Hebrew boy by the name of Daniel. And God gives him wisdom. And God gives him knowledge. He may be able to interpret it. Hey, can't you see old Daniel coming in and saying, King, what your dream means is your kingdom's about to end. And there's another kingdom coming that'll be broader than you. Isn't that right? And he said, it'll not be just one head and a kingdom united under it, but it'll be split in two. And it was the Medes and the Persians. Isn't that right? And you know what he said? He went on down and covered every one of those. But then he said, there was a mountain and there was a rock that was hewn out of that mountain. Isn't that right? That came tumbling down and crushed every bit of that statue. Isn't that right? Oh, my soul. Can I say this tonight? You lay yourself on the rock, or he'll lay himself on you. Isn't that right? You break yourself on the rock, or he will break you. There is coming a day. You've got the choice this morning. You can build upon the rock, or the rock will crush you. It's just that simple. There is coming a day that judgment will come, and he'll come in wrath to judge and make war. But aren't you glad for the grace of God? I'll never be crushed by that rock. I've built upon that rock this morning. Oh, it's a spiritual rock. Natural man cannot understand that. The natural man cannot understand that the same rock that was hewn without hands by the master builder, the same rock that will crush the world, and crush the government, and crush the religious system of this world, they cannot understand that's the same rock whereby our faith is founded, whereby we stand, whereby we find anchor and find comfort this morning. It is a spiritual rock. But not only that, I want to say this. I see the shadowing of the rock. Watch what your Bible said. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock. Notice this. That followed them. My soul, ain't that a blessing this morning? You say, preacher, do you really believe that when the children of Israel come moving from place to place, that there was a rock that followed them? I sure do. Now, if you don't want to this morning, you think anything you want to, I'm not argue with you. If you want to think somebody picked it up and carried it, that'll be all right. I think you're missing a blessing, but go ahead if you want to. But I will tell you this, John, everywhere they went, that rock was there. My soul, y'all ain't getting that. Aren't you glad there's a shadowing of the rock? You realize this morning, if I walked outside, that sun's a shining. If I walked outside, there's nowhere I can go under the sun that my shadow will not be there. Ain't that right? And that's exactly what that rock was. Everywhere they went, that rock was there. When they went from place to place, the Bible said that rock followed them. Hey, can I say this morning? I sure am glad from the day that I anchored my faith in the rock and put my faith in the rock of ages, that he's never left me and he's never forsaken me, but he's been with me always, even to the ends of the earth. So I'm glad where I am. There he is this morning. I'm glad, thank God, that he followed them. So there's the spiritual rock and the shadowing of the rock. You say, preacher, what else do you see? Well, notice this. I see in verse 4 the symbolism of that rock. I know I've already said it, but let me say it again. Listen, this morning the Bible said, Paul said they drank of that same spiritual rock which followed them. And then he said, and that rock was Christ. Can I just stop by and say, make sure you don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about a rock somewhere you go pick up. I'm not talking this morning about any ordinary rock. But Paul said, said, make sure you understand that rock was not Moses. That rock was not Pharaoh. That rock was not Aaron. But that rock was Christ. Amen. Isn't that right? My heart, you glad? I'm not found on anything except for the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed on Calvary. That's what my life's founded on. That's the only thing I stand on. Everything else is seeking sand except for the grace and the love and the blood that He shed for me. I'm glad that rock was Christ this morning. Oh, the symbolism of that rock. You realize this morning, anything else you anchor yourself to, anything else you build upon, anything else you try to rely on, anything else you trust in, will not last. It must be the blessed rock of ages. It must be Christ this morning. Watch your Bible. So we see the spiritual rock, the shadow of the rock, and the symbolism of the rock, but I'm interested in what happened to that rock. Take your Bibles. Go into the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter number 17. Exodus chapter number 17. You bear with me. I'm going to turn a few places this morning. But I want to help us. I know you know the story, but let's look at it again. I'm going to read much. We'll read several verses, but you bear with me. I hope it'll be a help to you this morning. Exodus chapter 17. Look with me in verse number 1. All the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. My soul, they've come to the place, John. Now remember in Exodus 15, God turned the bitter waters of Marah sweet. Remember that? But now in chapter 17, they've come again to a place. It's not that the waters are bitter, but now there are no waters. There's nothing for them to drink. And we realize and know this morning that you can live many days without food, and you can live many days without a lot of things, but it's very short. You can live without water this morning. And notice your Bible. The Bible said, wherefore the people in verse 2 did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Verse 4, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. So they're thirsty this morning. And John, there's nothing to quench their thirst. Remember Paul said he would not have us to be ignorant of these things. There's lessons to be learned and thoughts to be gleaned. And they're thirsty. And there's nothing to quench their thirst. There is no water this morning. They begin to chide with Moses. You know what they said? Said it would have been better if we just stayed in Egypt. Died in Egypt. At least we had water in Egypt. Yeah. Is that right? At least there was something to drink in Egypt. But now there's nothing. And all we've done, we've come in this wilderness. We're going to die. Our children are going to die. And our flocks and herds are going to die. Wish we'd just stayed in Egypt. Amen. Moses went before the Lord and said, Lord, what did you have me to do? They're going to stone me, is what Moses said. So they're on the verge of stoning me. They's about fed up. Notice what the Lord's saying. Look with me, verse number 5. Watch this. Bible said in verse 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people. Take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Now watch verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock. There shall come water out of it that the people may drink. Moses did so on the side of the elders of Israel. He called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Can I say this? I see the symbolism of the rock, but you say, preacher, why is that rock like Christ? What is God showing us about Christ in that rock? What is it that God wants us to see? You know what he told Moses? Moses said, Lord, there's no water. They're thirsty. The Bible said they thirsted in that place. And there was no water. And Moses went before the Lord. And the Lord said, Moses, I want you to take that same rod that you smote the waters with at the Red Sea. And I did a great thing. Take that same rod. And I want you to stand upon the rock, and I'll stand upon the rock with you in Horeb. And he said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to smite the rock. You know what that means? It means I want you to hit the rock. Don't lose me. I want you to smite the rock. Oh, my soul. I hope y'all get this. I see the smiting of the rock. And what is that rock? The Bible said that rock was Christ. Oh, my heart, you glad for a night that you was thirsty and there was nothing to fulfill that thirst. Aren't you glad for the day you didn't want and there was nothing that could meet that desire? Aren't you glad that the rock was smitten so that you could drink water? He was smitten at Calvary. Yeah. Don't lose me this morning. That rock was smitten. The Bible said, the Lord told Moses, if you'll smite the rock, water will come forth out of it. Isn't that right? Oh, my soul, let me slow down just a minute. I want to borrow your imagination for a moment. And think about that day as they come and arrested him there in the garden. And he went before Pilate. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. And they cried out and said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And they began to scourge him. And the soldiers plucked out his beard and smote his face and put a purple robe upon him and a reed in his hand and mocked him and made fun of him and smote him across the brow and said, prophesy and tell who it was. And they put a crown of thorns together and placed it on his head. Think about the agony and the mockery and the cruelty. Think about how they took him there and put him in the whipping post and took that whip and beat him beyond recognition. Of that whip they'd have used, it was similar to a cat of nine tails, though not the same thing. It would have been shorter, John, than what you call the cat of nine tails, but it would have had fragments of glass and bone and pottery tied to the end of those whips. And as they beat him, there'd be a man on his right, which was right-handed, and a man on his left, which was left-handed. And they'd take turns smacking his back, and that bone and that glass I would have reached into the flesh and grabbed hold of muscle and grabbed hold of ligaments and it would have ripped as it ripped him out. It would have ripped the flesh from his bone and lifted it from his body. It would have been excruciating. Most men never made it past the scourging post. They died. There was too much bloodshed. It was too painful. It was too agonizing. They never made it to the Calvary. They died there. They never hardly crucified and scourged a man, but they did our Lord to smite him because he had to be smitten for you and I this morning. And they ripped the flesh off his body. They carried him, made him carry his cross up Golgotha's hill. Can you imagine the agony and the pain after the flesh had been ripped off his back, of them placing that wood upon his shoulders, and it ripping and tearing as his flesh was exposed? Can you imagine the pain this morning? Carried it up to Calvary. Can you imagine the pain as he laid down his hands and they drove those spikes through his hands? Can you imagine the pain as they drove a spike through his feet? Do you realize the crucifixion is one of the most vile and wretched and horrible things you'll ever read about? If you don't understand this morning, let me try my best to give you a description. He was hung by the tendons and the ligaments in his hands. There was pressure constantly in his feet. His back was raw, John. The flesh ripped away as it scourged him. The crown of thorns still in his head. Isn't that right? Ripped his clothes off naked before before everybody that walked by. And there he hung for you and I. No comfort, no peace, nothing to bring relief. Hey, can I say this? Listen and listen well. You know what he had to do every time he breathed? And the way that they hung him and the pain that he went through, Wayne, they would literally, what killed him was the suffocation. It held him in a way that he could not breathe. You know what would happen? To be able to breathe, he'd have to put pressure on those two spikes. And that spike in his feet, pick himself up. Can you imagine as his back's been tore open, how painful it must have been to slide up that wooden cross, pick himself up by that spike in his hand, tearing at the nerves and the tendons and the ligaments, and pick himself up and go, just to let himself back down. Can you imagine the pain? I can't imagine the ability to say it, but can you imagine the pain to get enough breath to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, my soul. Can you imagine everything he'd went through? Can you imagine he'd been smitten? Can you imagine the pain? And yet he said, Father, forgive them. I struggled to find breath. I to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah. He'd pick himself up. You know why they'd break their legs? Because if it took too long, Brother Corey, they'd fix it to where they couldn't pick themselves up to get another breath. Yeah. And they'd literally suffocate hanging on the cross. Well, I'll tell you something. I don't mean it ugly. You may not feel this way. I don't know, a while back, I was there at the house, and my wife was at work, and I was there with both the boys, and I'd eat something. I don't know what it was, but it went down the wrong way. You know what I'm saying. And John, I did everything I could, and I could not get it out. I mean, I got to the point, I looked in the mirror, and I could see my face turning blue. I could feel myself getting dizzy-headed. I was watching Andrew and Aaron. I was thinking, oh, my Lord, I'm going to die, and they're going to be here by themselves. And I could see them getting fuzzy. I could feel myself going out. I don't know how I ever got it out, but that was the worst feeling I believe I've ever had in my life, to know I just needed breath, for my body to crave for just one breath of air and not be able to get it. But that's what he did for you and me. It's what he did for you and me. Oh, my soul, can you imagine how he was smitten this morning for you and for me? Not only do I see the smiting of the rock, but what did the Lord tell Moses? When it shall be smitten, water shall come forth out of it. I want to see the supply of the rock. Oh, my, you realize, I thought, John, I don't know, but Bible doesn't say there was any special thing about this rock other than the fact that it was a picture of Christ. I believe it looked just like every other rock did. And I thought about the fact that when he came, was born as a babe in a manger, and lived a life as a carpenter's son, and up until he got older, Chris, there was really, nobody would have seen anything special in his life. And in fact, that's why the Jews didn't believe. They was looking for a king to come and set up a kingdom. And they didn't realize that he'd come to die. They didn't realize he'd come to humble himself and die, being made lower than the angels. They was looking for some grand, spectacular thing. That's the reason they didn't believe he was the Messiah. He looked just like everybody else. But when he was smitten, he had exactly what the world needed. There'd have been no other rock that could have been. I can't go out there, Brother Corey, and smite a rock this morning and water come out of it. I can't do that. It took that rock. Can I say this? If I could love you enough this morning to die in your stead, I could be smitten. I could face the same thing. I don't have the ability to save you this morning. It's not in me. But when he was smitten, out came forth water. In fact, the Bible said instead of breaking his legs, there was a soldier, a Roman soldier. Oh, my soul, that stood there. And when instead he broke the thief's legs on the left, he broke the thief's legs on the right. And mind. Can you imagine? Listen to me. Hadn't listened well, that Roman soldier. I don't know what made him hate the Lord so much. I don't know what it was he despised so much. I don't understand it. I don't know. But the Bible said Johnny took out his spear and he rammed it into the side. And out came forth what? Blood and water. Isn't that right? Oh, my soul. I've often wondered if that soldier realized how close he was up to exactly what he needed. I wonder if he realized that the sin he'd just done in smiting the Savior, the atonement was made and fell at the ground before him. I'm glad he brought forth water this morning. What water is in your Bible? Still water is always a picture and a type of the Word of God. But running water. Watch what your Bible said. Now don't lose me. Watch this. Bible said in verse number 6. Watch this. Hold I stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And listen, it wasn't still water. It was running water. You know what running water is? It's a picture and a type of the Holy Ghost of God. You know this morning what it was that convicted my heart? The sweet Holy Ghost of God. You know what it was that took up a boat inside my heart and life? The sweet Holy Ghost of God. You know what it was that comforts me from day to day? The sweet Holy Ghost of God. You know what it was this week and this morning that gets me to spit and slobber and run and hack and do all those things? The sweet Holy Ghost of God. Hey, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. There was a time I was just like you. I had a void I could not fill. I had a gap that could not be made up. I could not do anything of my own. But I'm glad when I found out he was smitten. I found out he had exactly what I needed. I'll bring refreshment and joy to my life. And the Lord said, smite the rock. And he'll supply of the water that they need, that they may drink freely this morning. So I see the supply of the rock. Then I want to say this. Turn with me real quick, and I'm done. Just a moment. Let me give you two more things, and I'm done. Numbers chapter number 20 this morning. Numbers chapter number 20. Numbers chapter number 20. Book of Exodus, Moses smote the rock, out came forth water. Now we're in the book of Numbers. Several years have passed. Notice what the Bible said in verse 1. Then came the children of Israel and the whole congregation of the desert of Zin, the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Watch verse 2. And there was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. You know what you'll find in Numbers 20? You'll find a very similar thing to Exodus 17. There was no water. They strove with Moses. This time with Moses and Aaron, they went before the Lord. You know what the Lord said the answer was? He said the rock was the answer. I'm going to show you something tonight, this morning. I hope it'll help you. And I'm done, okay? Watch this. I won't say this. I said, I don't supply the rock, but I won't say I see the sufficiency of the rock. Watch verse 8. Bible said, take the rock, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Notice that, shall give forth his water. Can I say this? Moses and Aaron may not have realized that that rock was Christ, but God knew it was. Isn't that right? Now watch this. Before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, and thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. Now you say, preacher, what do you see? I see the sufficiency of the rock. There's been several years passed, and guess what? That rock's still sufficient. It's still the same answer. The same need there was in Exodus 17, now in Numbers 20. The rock is still the answer. Y'all help me, and we'll get that in just a minute. You say, preacher, what are you saying? 2,000 years ago, Christ was the answer. That thief that took that spear and stuck it in his side, he was the answer. He was the only way that thief could be saved. He was the answer. Today, the first Sunday in January of 2020, he's still the answer. If you're here this morning, lost, undone without God, he's been smitten. And he is the answer this morning. He is sufficient to meet your need this morning. I see the sufficiency. Then I want to say this, and I'm done. I want you to notice what the Bible said. Now remember in Exodus 17, the Lord told Moses to take his rod, go up to stand before the Lord in Horeb, and to do what? Smite the rock. Well, he talked about how he had to be smitten. Now I want to show you something. It may not do much for you, but it was a blessing to me. What pictures and types. Watch verse 8. The Bible said, take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. Now watch this. And speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Can I say this? He's only been smitten once, and there's no need for him to be smitten again. It was sufficient. He had to be smitten this morning. But I've got good news. You don't have to rely on him coming and being smitten again. Well, he told Moses, Exodus 17, smite the rock. But I'm glad some 2,000 years ago the rock was smitten. Today, we're living in Numbers 20. You don't have to wait for him to be smitten again. He told Moses, speak to the rock. Isn't that right? I believe the Bible said with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Isn't that right? I'm not waiting on to be smitten again. That night I got saved, Jerry, he didn't have to come back and die on Calvary again. He'd already been smitten. All I had to do was believe. I put my faith in him and speak to the rock this morning. Now who is the rock? Paul said, and that rock was Christ. Isn't that right? Amen. You ain't got to speak to me. You ain't got to speak to your mama. You ain't got to speak to your daddy. You ain't got to speak to your friend. You ain't got to speak to the deacons. You ain't got to speak to your Sunday school teacher. In fact, it'll not do you one bit of good. But I will tell you this. You speak to the rock. And the Bible said that the Lord told Moses, speak to the rock, and the water will flow out and give to the people that may they may drink, and their beast also. You know what he said? He said, there's enough water in that rock. It's still sufficient. If you'll speak to it, you can drink this morning. Oh, aren't you glad that you can speak to it this morning? Can I show you something? And I'm done. Don't fall out with me, but I got to show you this. Watch what your Bible said. Let me say it like this quickly. The rock did not need to be smote again. Once was sufficient. Now it only had to be spoke to. Well, aren't you glad now you got saved? He didn't have to die for you again. He didn't have to come, and you didn't have to worry about all that. Oh, but all you had to do was speak to him, and the water came forth. I'm glad it was sufficient, aren't you? Watch this, and I'm done. The Bible said in verse number 9, Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Moses started out doing exactly what God told him. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said to them, here now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Listen to me this morning. The Lord didn't tell him to smite it again. He said, speak to it. Isn't that right? The Lord didn't tell him to smite it again. He said, speak to it. Watch verse 12. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye should not bring this congregation in the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. You know why Moses didn't get to go into the land, the promised land, with the children of Israel? Because he messed up a type of Christ. That's it. That's really it. Brother Corey, that's the reason he didn't get to go, because the Christ was only smitten once, but Moses smote him twice. Is that right? God said, because of that, you will not, because you would not believe me. Moses got there. Now listen to me. If you don't get nothing else I say, get this morning. Moses got there and he stood before that rock. And I can see he knew, John, that God told him to just speak to it. He knew how simple that was. He knew that God had never lied to him before. God had made a way every time. And the Lord, he knew, the Lord told him to speak to it. But he stood there and he said, I just don't know if that'll work or not. I just don't know. Last time I hit it, and water come forth. I think that'd work, but I just don't know if speaking would be good enough. What if I don't say the right thing? What if I say it the wrong way? What if I do? What if it doesn't work? So what he did, he smote it twice. You know what the Lord said? Because you did not believe, you will not enter into the land. Listen to me. Listen to me well this morning. Does not need to be smitten again. It's that simple. The simplicity of the rock. All you have to do this morning is speak to the rock. Now, I don't know your heart. I don't know your need. If you're here this morning lost, you may be saying, preacher, I just don't know if it's that simple. I don't know what to say. I don't know if it'll work. I just don't know if I believe that. Can I tell you this morning? It works. All you have to do is speak to the rock. Doesn't have to be smitten again. Doesn't have to be any great thing done. Just speak to the rock. You say, preacher, what do I have to say? Just ask him to save you. Just tell him what you want this morning. Ain't that right? You know what Moses should have done? Instead of smiting the rock, he should have said, give us water. That's what he should have said. That's what they needed. That's what they wanted. He should have just said, give us water. Can I say this? Quit worrying about whether you say the right thing. Quit worrying about whether or not you understand it all. And just tell him what you want. Tell him you want to be saved. Ask him to save you. Believe he'll save you. Speak to the rock this morning. It's that simple. Paul said, and that rock was Christ. My soul, he's dealing with your heart this morning. He's moving in your life. Why in the world won't you just speak to him? Why in the world won't you just come and ask him to save you? That's all I've said now. I got saved over and over and over again. John, I said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Because that's what I needed. That's what I wanted. That's what I desired. That's all I knew to say. Can I say this? He honors you speaking. Let me help you with something. You say, preacher, I don't know if I say it right. I don't know if I use the right words. I don't know this. I don't know that. Can I tell you something? He knows your heart. Even if you don't say it just right, even if you don't know the lingo, even if you don't put the words like somebody else might do it, he knows your heart this morning. He knows what you want. He knows you want to be saved. He knows you realize you're a sinner. He knows whether you believe or not. It doesn't matter what you say. He's just asking you to do your best to say something. He knows your heart this morning. He knows what you need. He knows the rock knows. And he's got the water. God, help us. I'll speak to the rock this morning. Oh my, let's get a song of invitation as we stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody